Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better healthcare. Learn more at nm.org/better.
This conversation is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better healthcare. Although Dr. Victoria Weston at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital is probably thinking, what am I getting myself into here? Dr. Weston, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
You are an emergency medicine physician, so you're in the ER over there at Lake Forest?
Yes, the ER, and I also work for the urgent cares for Northwestern.
Those are different animals, aren't they? Or is it, what is your thought about which one I should use when?
Well, that's a great question. So I work in both settings. And so the emergency department is really the right place to go if you have an emergency. So, for example, you think you're having a stroke or a heart attack or you're having severe chest pain. Urgent care is great for, you know, less acute complaints that you maybe can't get into your primary care doctor for. You don't have one. So, for example, you think you have COVID or the flu or strep. You might have a urinary tract infection. You have a minor injury or a minor wound that we can take care of for you. We can do sutures. So there's certainly a lot we can do in the urgent care setting, but what we have available in terms of resources differs quite a bit.
Yeah. I suppose it's frustrating for you all sometimes because you've got people sitting in the one room that are maybe compromising the immediacy with which you could care for somebody. Better they go to urgent care instead of the ER.
You know, it's very tricky. I think nationwide, a lot of the ERs are having, you know, a boarding crisis. And so it is challenging, but we also recognize that, you know, the patients don't always know what their resources are or how ill they are. And, you know, some folks don't have the same access to care in terms of having access to primary care or having insurance. And so sometimes the ED is a safety net and people don't have anywhere else to go. And so we're very understanding of that and just want to make sure we take care of everyone.
It's time to get flu and COVID shots, right? Like, Is the season open now for flu and COVID shots?
It certainly is. I've gotten mine, and I would suggest that people, as long as you don't have an allergy, go ahead and get theirs. You know, the updated vaccines are available, including the updated vaccine for COVID. Would highly recommend it. People often ask. It is very much okay to get both at the same time as well.
And I remember when we first were able to get the COVID shots, what an exciting moment that was when you could get vaccinated against COVID. It seems like it was forever ago, but I remember when it was either the tests or I think it was actually the vaccines were coming on trucks to Chicago and we were following their progress down the Kennedy. It was like, hallelujah, they're here. Now we've got to beg people to get the vaccine. Should I be brand conscious? Is Pfizer... Is it still the same companies, and does it matter whose I get?
That's a great question, and I agree. I remember when, you know, I worked through the full pandemic, so I certainly remember at the beginning going in with no vaccine, taking care of people, and really hoping not to get sick. And then, you know, we're in such a different place now a few years later. It's hard to comprehend how much things have changed, which is overall a good thing, but I would very much recommend most folks get it. In terms of the availability, it's Pfizer and Moderna, which are, you know, the two big ones from before. That's what most pharmacies and healthcare systems have available. It's fine to mix and match. You don't have to just get whatever you've had before. I think both are great options.
Anything else you want us to know about vaccinations? RSV is out there too. I guess we should get that one as well, right?
Well, yeah, so RSV is for not everyone needs to get RSV. People who are most susceptible or vulnerable to it are young, very young children, especially infants and newborns or the elderly. And so that's one worth talking with your regular primary care doctor about to see if you need to get that. Not everyone needs the RSV shot, but for some people, it's a very good idea.
But, you know, I know so many people, including myself, frankly, who have traveled and they come back with some sort of respiratory thing. And it's just like this nagging cough or hack you can't get rid of. Like for weeks, I don't know what that is. I don't suppose that's RSV, but it's out there and it's very annoying.
Absolutely. You know, we actually have a test that we send sometimes called the respiratory pathogen panel that says for a number of different viruses, and having reviewed from those results, it's really a mixed bag in terms of what people are getting when they have these persistent symptoms that won't resolve. Now, if you have fever or productive cough for weeks, you know, at some point you might want to get seen and we can decide if we need to work you up for pneumonia or bronchitis or for another cause. But for a lot of people, it may just be a lingering virus. So whether that's RSV, which does cause cold-like symptoms in most healthy adults, or another virus, it's hard to say for exactly sure which one. But plenty of things you can do to help yourself feel better. But yeah, very unpleasant. A lot of people who are traveling are getting sick. Again, you know, you're going through the airport, you're on the plane, you're around a lot of other people. So, you know, you're at risk of whoever's traveling alongside you sharing whatever they might have.
And that's, and it is a thing, right? I mean, it's no coincidence. You're not coughing for no reason. You've picked up a virus, right?
Usually a virus. If it's not resolving for weeks, we do like to see you and make sure it's not bacterial. But most often it is a virus, especially in the first week or two. We don't necessarily do a whole lot. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's going to vary person to person and based on, you know, what you look like. Are you having a fever? What other health conditions do you have? How do your lungs sound when we listen to you? And so there's some nuance that goes into it. But for most otherwise healthy people, often it's viral and needs time.
Dr. Copen's telling us to just drink a lot of water. He's always throwing water at me. Do you agree with that?
I think staying hydrated is always a great idea. I think most people don't hydrate quite enough. Obviously, you know, if you are sick, tea with honey and lemon is always a great idea. Again, obviously honey unless you're diabetic. You know, fluids as long as you don't have fluid restrictions for some reason. But plenty of great over-the-counter and home remedies that you can use to help feel better.
Two other stories that I just wanted to bounce off of you. One was about Dr. Anthony Fauci, who said in an op-ed in the New York Times today, a mosquito in my backyard made me the sickest I've ever been. I don't know what you would have to say about that, but before I get to that, there's also a story out today that says arm position during blood pressure checks may lead to a wrong reading, according to a study. I'm a little surprised to hear that. I think a lot of people take their blood pressure at home. What's your advice about what gadgets we should use and how we should do that, a blood pressure check?
Sure, we can definitely talk about both of those. So for blood pressure, arm position is important and cuff size is important. So if you use a cuff that's too big or too small, you may get a less accurate reading. And likewise, this study, which was in JAMA Internal Medicine, was an important one. And it shows that really, you know, the positioning matters quite, it always matters, but it's quite a bit more important than we might have thought previously. And so this is especially relevant for people who are checking their blood pressures at home. Overall, you know, if you're someone who's checking your home blood pressures, we really look at the trend. So I wouldn't be too alarmed by one isolated reading. But, you know, if you're taking the time, you want to do it the right way. So you like to have your arm, you know, resting by your side. You don't want to have it dangling. You want to make sure that you're sitting with your back supported and both feet on the ground. So body position matters, cuff size matters, where your arm is matters. You know, other recommendations, you know, if you were to exercise right before or drink a cup of coffee or if you're a smoker, you know, there's other things that can affect your heart rate. And so avoiding those things is important as mm-hmm. well. Arm resting on a table by your side, kind of at like,
yeah,
like hip level, I would
yeah.
say.
Right arm or left arm doesn't matter?
I think either's fine.
And the trend matters as much as anything. Do you like, is a wrist
right.
cuff as good as the arm cuff?
I don't personally think so. I mean, I've certainly, you know, I've been in the ED sometimes where we just get the best we can because someone has, you know, anatomical or other issues where we can't necessarily use the right arm or we can't position it as best we can. And so, you know, certainly we sometimes need to be flexible or adaptive, but ideally it's kind of right above your elbow.
Anthony Fauci got, what was the mosquito-borne illness that he got?
He had West Nile.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds exotic and unlikely, and I don't know. Other than what a coincidence, what bad luck of all things, him, that. But what's the takeaway for the rest of us on this?
Yeah, bad luck and a lot of irony there. But for most people, so first of all, the rates in Chicago, the Chicago Department of Public Health tracks and measures this, and they check mosquitoes for, and they have a lot of robust testing. The rate of this in Chicago is very, very low. So I don't think people need to go and be terribly alarmed about this. For people who do get West Nile, it sounds a lot scarier than it is. 80% of people will have no symptoms. So 4 out of 5 people will be fine and not even know that they have it. Mm. It does cause illness, and, you know, those who do get symptoms, which can include fever, aches, rashes, some, you know, gastrointestinal issues. You know, there are about 1,000 Americans who are hospitalized for this each year. Obviously, they're, you know, it's fairly uncommon, but it's unfortunate if you're like Dr. Fauci, where you're one of the few who do get very, very sick. And so it's something to be aware of, but I wouldn't necessarily worry too much about it.
Nothing you can do about it except avoid mosquitoes. And at least it's October, so that's less of an issue for us now, right?
Exactly.
Very interesting. Dr. Victoria Weston, emergency medicine physician, Northwestern Medicine in Lake Forest at the Lake Forest Hospital. Really nice to talk to you, Doctor. Well done. Join us again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.